Yeah, are we? Is this all sorted? Good to go?
It's all sorted.
Okay,
ready to go.
I guess we should stop talking shit for a minute if we can.
Oh, you can. If
we're
you
real
want.
Bad at. We're pretty good at talking shit. It's kind of what we're friends.
Yeah, well, you know, we have a lot in common in terms of metal taste and opinion, and that comes across a little bit aggressively at times, but you know,
it's great
it
fun.
So.
Okay. Professional voice. All right.
Hold on, let me get grim.
Grim face.
Grim face.
We could just air this. This would be way better.
That's not,
is
no,
it gonna be like,
actually, that would be perfect.
Like, you know, like death metal MST3K. Like, you know what? We need to have a video of the entire Maryland Death Fest show, and you and me just sit there and just talk shit on all the bands.
That sounds perfect.
Director's
but we'll have to. But I have to be like pitch shifted so people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want to get assassinated.
People know it's me. Can you tell me your name and what you do in the band?
My name is Matt. I play guitar in Funebrarm, and I do backing vocals.
Okay, now, a lot of our readers have probably not heard of you guys yet, so could you tell me, essentially, who is Funebrarm? Tell me a little bit about the history and the story behind you guys, and how you ended up at MDF.
Okay, so Funebrarm started in 1999. It was founded by Nick Orlando, who is best known for Evoken, and Daryl Kahan, who actually played Maryland Death Fest with Citizens Arrest, and also is known for the black metal band Abazagorath. They wanted to do something that was inspired by the death metal bands they listened to when they were coming up in the tape trading scene. You know, a lot of the Swedish and Finnish bands, you know, Grave and Carnage, Demigod, Demolek, all that kind of stuff. They decided to start the project. They brought Dave Wagner on, who was the bassist of Abazagorath. He played bass with them, and I joined in 2005. They had released Beneath the Columns of Abandoned Gods in 2000. In 2006, we released a split with Intermint, Conjuration of the Sepulchral, which was on Conqueror of Thorns Records. And in 2009, we did The Sleep of Morbid Dreams, which was our second full-length, and that came out on Cyclone Empire. And that record was really well-received, and that is part of what got us here today.
So what was it like playing? You told me before that getting up there and seeing people going crazy really showed your bandmates that, hey, people do like us.
Well, you know, it's funny because death metal is a weird thing, and I think anybody in the scene kind of knows that it's a weird thing. When you play in a band and you do anything local, you're kind of playing to small crowds and bars and stuff like that, and in some cases you're playing with bands that their fans don't get you at all. But when you come to Maryland Death Fest, you're pretty much preaching to the choir, right? You've got the extreme metal faithful right in front of you. And so for us, it was a big deal. The last show we played was with Demolek in 2006. So this was huge for us. It was by far the biggest show we've ever played. And the crowd response we got was amazing. I was completely blown away. And I later saw some video that showed the crowd from a rooftop, and I literally couldn't believe it. You know, seeing people singing along to songs that you've worked so hard on is just a really satisfying thing. And, you know, we performed well, and I got a lot of positive feedback for the work that we did. So, you know, it's been great. It's been a hell of an adventure.
So you guys are, well, I know I pick on you about it all the time. Funebrarm don't play live very often. But you said that might be changing. Could you tell me a little bit about why you guys don't play very often and when you're going to play New York?
Well, we are grim and we are cult and we are underground. So if we start playing all the time, people aren't going to like us anymore.
Keep them wanting it.
It's, you know, logistically things got interesting. Nick moved away. So for those of you who were at Maryland Death Fest or saw pictures, we have actually Alex from Goraphobia and Incantation of Master. He's playing second guitar for us live. So that was sort of a big change for us. You know, Nick is a founding guy in the band. He's currently living in North Carolina. So it's very difficult to get people together in a room and practice. Sean and Daryl have been busy with Dysma. Dave has been busy with Evoken. I've been busy with Calopsia. So it's just been, logistics have been challenging. Now that we've done this, we've got some momentum, so now there's a push to do more. Alex is hungry to do stuff. You know, the other guys have seen that, you know, we're capable of getting these kind of responses, and now people having seen us live are starting to give us offers for shows that are worth doing. So now, you know, that stuff's being considered, whereas previously, you know, it just wasn't happening.
So when are we going to get some new material?
TBD. You know, we're talking about, again, logistics are the challenge for us right now.
Right.
We are trying to figure out how to make it work because the old way, you know, doesn't work. Nick doesn't live 10 minutes away anymore, right? So we have to figure out how does Funeral Arm write the new album, you know, but we're hungry to do it. But we're also very, very strict on quality.
You gotta do it right.
If the new Funeral Arm record isn't at least as good as Sleep of Morbid Dreams, then, you know, it's not gonna get out the gate. We need to write something that absolutely crushes and brings all the trademark Funeral Arm sounds, you know, the doom, the darkness, the heaviness, but also the tight riffage. You know, Daryl's vocals are totally killer. We need that monstrous roar, that low-end bass, that reverb, that just massive, crushing, old-school, organic, you know, non-compressed, non-overproduced death metal sound. The sound of the bands that inspired Funebrarum, but also taking that and, you know, bringing that with our own special sauce.
It seems like a pretty common sentiment nowadays, actually. We were just talking to Hail of Bulls. They said the same thing. Seems like old school death metal, whatever that may be, is coming back. Or at least, I don't think it went anywhere, but people are starting to notice and more bands are forming. And it seems like you guys are kind of reaping some benefits from that.
Well, you know, the resurgence of the popularity of this style is great. There's a lot of killer bands in the scene, even just like one-off bands. You know, old bands coming back. You know, Goraphobia is back. You know, Master is doing stuff again. Claws, you know, the guy from Hooded Menace, his side project. You know, there's a lot of people really like that style, and they like that it's sort of the antithesis of what a lot of people see as some of the negatives of the modern death metal scene. You know,
overproduced, polished, soulless.
Well, you know, it's one of these things where, for what Funeral Arm does, we want something heavy and organic and just melodic in a different way. We're not instrumental virtuosos who are showing off. We're trying to bring a different kind of aesthetic. So, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from people who play other styles, you know, and people like what they like. But there's been sort of a backlash against that scene in sort of the larger metal scene. And so for people who didn't listen to Grave before or didn't listen to, you know, Autopsy before, now, you know, those bands are starting to get a little bit more of the recognition that they maybe weren't getting a few years ago. Funeral Arm's been around since 2000, which basically there was no old school death metal movement at that time, you know. So Funeral Arm is old school in the old school death metal movement, you know, as far as, you know, bands that weren't around in the 90s, you know, or in the early 90s when the stuff was originally happening. But for me, it's not about, oh, this is old school. For me, it's about, this is heavy, you know, riff-driven, you know, dirging, crushing, melodic with hooks. It's not about wizardry. It's not about who can blast the fastest. We have our fast parts, but we also know when to just have that crushing battle tank sort of drive through or have those doom-laden parts. You know, we all come from different scenes. Originally, but the Funeral Arm vision is basically summed up as the same thing it's always been, which is dark, brutal, death metal.
What is it about dark, brutal, death metal that you think appeals so much to people? Like, it seems to bring out more of a primal reaction than something like, you know, party thrash or post-black metal. It's more physical, I think. It kind of makes you want to, you know, beat something.
Well, exactly, and that's, you know, whenever I write anything, whether it's for Funeral Arm or Calopsia or any, like, death metal project, it's about getting that visceral, physical reaction. There's something about the way this kind of music hooks into you. It's that oppressive heaviness. It's that churning riffage. It's that rhythmic hook, that driving rhythm. That stuff's not about intellectual process. Right, that's about evoking something. I don't want to use the word spiritual, but something that's not intellectual, something that's visceral. And, you know, when you see people go crazy in the pit, it's not because they're like, oh wow, those guys are showing off. It's like, this part is so brutal that my body needs to express the energy that I have been given by this. That's what we do. We want to bring that visceral level of heaviness. You know, the fast parts have to be thrashing and driving. You know, the grind parts have to be, you know, skull shattering, and the slow parts need to just asphyxiate you. Those are the things that we're going for. We're not going for, you know, showing off. We're not going for intellectualization of the genre. I'm nerdy enough in everyday life. What I care about when I write death metal is I want those hooks. I want something people are going to remember, and I want something that after people listen to it, they go, holy shit. And that's it. It's not about nerdism. It's not about anything besides evoking that primitive sort of caveman element of brutal heaviness. That's the appeal of death metal for me, and that's what I try to bring in every project I work on.
That's awesome. That's a really good way to put it, because I know a lot of people that maybe aren't as familiar with the metal scene wonder, why are these guys hitting each other? Why do they like this brutal, unpleasant music? It just appeals to certain kinds of people, I guess. So could you tell me a bit about some of the bands that inspired you guys when you first came together for Funebrum? Like you mentioned Grave, Incantation's probably in there, some Onward to Golgotha. But what else, if somebody wanted to figure out Funebrum step by step, where would be like 5 records to start?
Oh man.
Or That's so evil. Maybe five, a couple bands. We'll do a couple bands.
I'll give you a list of records. All right. So I just got put on the spot of like 5 records. That's so fucked up. I've been PG-13 this whole time. That's fucked up, Kim. That's fucked up. You really just fucked me right now.
You love me.
All right. Yeah. Damn it. Fuck you. That's it. You and me, we're fighting after this one. All right. So let's. So. Oh yeah. No, we'll keep it. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
We're in a back alley. Shit goes down.
Yo, shit goes down. Yeah. Yeah. For those of you who didn't hear. The engineer just said, we're in a back alley, shit goes down. We are in like the shadiest fucking alley in Baltimore, which is basically perfect for this kind of interview.
Metal ain't pretty.
You know, we have a microphone, but we could just as easily have a suitcase full of heroin. Yes, just got a spit take, nice. All right, no, let's get serious now. All right, 5. You know what, I'm gonna pretend I don't know how to count. Here's some records that you should listen to if you want to understand where Funebrum is coming from. So the original old school stuff, as far as the original Funebrum sort of mission statement, if you will, probably consists of records like Grave, Into the Grave, you know, The Abhorrence 7-inch, who we covered on Conjuration and Sepulchral, Bolt Thrower, Realms of Chaos, you know, Morbid Angel, you know, early Morbid Angel, Autopsy. When I joined, my 4 main bands that I was trying to bring as far as what I was thinking about are Asphyx, Autopsy, Demolich, and Death. Scream Bloody Gore, The Rack, Nespeth, Ridden with Disease, you know, Severed Survival. To understand Funebrum, you have to understand Evoken, so pick up any Evoken record. That's been, you know, sort of Nick's heart and soul, and Dave is playing bass for them now, so you can really... You really get a sense of where the doom comes from, and I am not in Evoken, but Evoken has been my favorite doom band forever. So, you know, it's great to get to work with those guys. You know, for the sort of more modern bands that are doing stuff that I think is interesting, and here I'm speaking for myself in my role in Funebrum and not for Funebrum proper. Autopsy is back. Awesome. They killed it last year. You know, Hail of Bullets is great. Asphyx is great. Martin Van Drunen is just a commanding force behind the microphone. I love the Claws record. A lot of times we go back to the old stuff. You know, Carnage, Dark Recollection is definitely a record you would need to hear to understand sort of the melodic underpinnings. Nihilist. Do your homework, man. Go through the archives. 5. You're limiting me to 5? Are you kidding me? This is bullshit.
From one nerd to another, I figured I'd pull a fast one on you.
Yeah. And then, you know, for me, it always comes back to sort of the early Roadrunner bands, because I'm a little bit younger than the other Funebrum guys, so I came into the scene a little bit later. But you know,
born too late?
Yeah, born too late. But for me, you know, my riffage is very influenced by, like, Malevolent Creation and... you know, Suffocation and sort of the Florida and New York scenes of the early 90s, whereas Funebrum is very influenced by, like, the Finnish and Swedish scenes. Oh, and if I didn't already say Demolik Nespeth and the Demolik demos especially. Demolik killed it when they were here at Maryland Death Fest a couple of years ago. Definitely a band to check out. And definitely a band for people who think, oh, you know, old school death metal can't be technical. No. Demolik is
super
weird.
Technical.
Weird and awesome. And but they have that feeling that I think a lot of people think is missing from the sort of show off bands. Even Death, you know, when they went into the technical realm, they still had so much power and so much feeling. And I think people sort of miss that. They think, oh, well, you know, Individual Thought Patterns, it has a fretless bass on it, so that's all I need is a fretless bass. Like, no, you need killer songwriting and you need great riffs. And having technical stuff on top of that is great, but it's not enough by itself.
That was more than 5 records.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll get back to you. I'll have my people get back to your people. 5 records. What a bunch of shit. Kim, what the fuck, man? God damn it.
Well, you covered pretty much everything possible. Do you have anything else you would like to say to people that are just discovering your band through this means? Like, what would you like to say to the people of NPR?
I would like to say, you know, check out Funebrarum if you want to be crushed to death by brutal death metal. There's a lot of killer bands in the scene, and it's hard to be a standout band, but we've gotten a lot of positive feedback, both from our live performance at Maryland Death Fest and for our record generally. Grim Kim likes it, and she's an opinionated pain in the ass. So, you know, it's probably pretty decent.
I hate you. I know that's not going in.
Oh, that's going in. If that's not in, I am writing a letter. I'm getting a nod from the engineer. You know, we made it into Decibel's Top 40 Records of 2009. So, you know, there's something there. And, you know, we're going to keep writing. We're going to keep working. We've got a lot of momentum coming out of this show. We've got a lot of energy. The practices have been really great. Also, check out Dysma, which is Daryl and Sean's other project, members of Incantation. Super brutal, you know, macabre riffage and just super, super, super unbelievably heavy. Check out Collapsia, which is a more modern, groove-oriented death metal, but still with that old-school feel and rhythmic hooks. Evoken, the greatest doom band active today.
St. Vitus just reformed. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh. All right, well, I'm going to stand by my statement because I don't like to contradict myself in the course of the same interview. I might have to revise my statements later, but, you know, Evoken is just crushing death doom, and last time I saw them live, they literally started shaking the building they were playing in, and there was concerns that the building was going to collapse.
I've seen them do that. It's terrifying.
You know, they got great press from their performance at Roadburn. I'm happy for anybody to give us, you know, attention. There's a million bands in the scene. We're bringing something that people thought was worthwhile and, you know, cared about it enough to bring us to Maryland Death Fest. We got a really positive response, you know, so I think that sort of speaks for itself. I'm not one to brag about the quality of my own projects, but I think we're pretty good. And, you know,
yeah,
other
right.
people seem to agree. So, including Kim, and she sucks. So, but, you know, thanks for checking out this interview. And, you know, thanks, guys, for taking the time to speak with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Onward to Golgotha.
See you in hell.